Christina Dreyer, the Boss Man Show. We're here with a guy who's right up the road from us here in downtown Atlanta, Kennesaw State University head coach, Amir Abdul-Rahim. Coach Amir, how are things going with you here in August, man?
Man, things are good, man. It's been a great summer. You know, guys worked hard, man, just really getting after it, man. So, you know, I can't complain at the summer at all, man. Just really excited to get back in, you know, in a couple of weeks and start school and, you know, start this journey.
Well, Coach, I'm going to tell you a quick story that may date you and I both. When I was at TSU back in 05 through 09, I knew you was at Murray State, so I knew about you from then. You was at Murray State. So before we get started, what are your thoughts about Murray State as a school and the OVC as a league and how it's grown over the years? Because I feel like OVC basketball dance is growing like crazy right now. And how was it when you came down and played TSU at Gentry when you was at Murray State there?
Well, man, you know, the thing that's cool about Murray State, man, is, you know, any place you go, and it's one of the things that we're trying to, you know, do here at Kennesaw is create a tradition and, you know, create some history, you know, at a Division I level. I mentioned to you before we jumped on, you know, just what Coach Engel has been able to do at the D2 and NAIA level. You know, we want to kind of, you know, duplicate that at Division I level, you know. So with him, you know, so with that being said, you know, Murray is a special place just because it's literally the best environment and best tradition in the OVC. You know, now actually, you know, having Belmont has gave him a little bit of competition. You know, so Murray was really cool to work at. You know, I say that all the time, and this ain't a shot at it. You know, but you know, man, it's a great place. You know, especially 30 night or 15 to 16 nights a year when you got those home games, man, because those people, they pack it out. TSU, I tell you this, was always great to go play at, because it seemed like they brought us in there on Greek night, you know. So
yeah, every time Greek night. You're right, night it was Greek night.
Yeah, no doubt. So, man, you know, my wife ain't around me right now. So at the time, for a young single guy, it was great, you know, because it was awesome, you know, because you're living in Murray, Kentucky, and you didn't really get to see a whole lot. But, you know, nonetheless, it was great. The only thing that was hard about it was, man, they put you right down there by the band, and every time out, man, we literally would have to move our bench or our huddle to almost center court so the guys could hear us, you know, talk about the game plan and what we wanted to do. So, man, other than that, it was great.
I remember how the band would just be so loud, and, you know, it was like a football game inside of a gym almost without a band
hitting it. No doubt. Every single time, man, it was crazy. Every single time. So, it was awesome, man. It really was. It was a fun league to be a part of. And, you know, that's the thing that I think that's really cool about the A-Sun is, you know, the A-Sun can be the same way. With what's been built, you know, with Lipscomb and Liberty and, you know, Florida Gulf Coast, even North Florida, you know, I think Coach Driscoll's done an unbelievable job. The thing we got to do now is, you know, we got to jump in that mix with Kennesaw, you know, and it can be done, you know, especially with having Atlanta as a fertile recruiting base and really the state of Georgia in general. You know, there are enough kids out there where we could build this thing, you know, with homegrown kids and, you know, really make some noise kind of, in a sense, you know, kind of put our staple on the A-Sun.
And Coach Amir, thing about with you is this, like, you've been assistant coach in different places around college basketball. You've been the SEC at Georgia, Texas A&M. And I feel like the Kennesaw is right in your wheelhouse because you have those pipeline in Georgia already by being on Tom Crean's staff. So the guys that may not really be the level of Georgia, maybe the level of Kennesaw State, or they may go to Georgia or Georgia Tech, or be like, it don't work out, can transfer to you guys, kind of like what Ron Hunter did at Georgia State, and you'd be like that one more time experience for the guys, and that one more chance to say, hey, you can still do this at this level, do it here at Kennesaw right in your own backyard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, it's a blueprint to it all. You know, and the transfer route is always definitely a possibility. I think the part of it that's the part that's great for us, and this is really what we tried to do at Georgia was, you know, we wanted, and we're going to take the same blueprint at Kennesaw from a standpoint of, you know, building relationships with kids when they're young. I'm not really concerned about, you know, a kid, you know, outgrowing our level. You know, what we're going to try to do is put a premium on the relationship and build really strong relationships with these kids and make sure that they understand that, you know, Kennesaw is a viable option, you know, even with Georgia and Georgia Tech. You know, I don't want to seem, you know, arrogant or cocky, or anything like that. But I don't want to shy away from the recruiting battles and just the battles in general that we need to be in if we're going to turn this thing the way it's it can be turned.
Well, Coach, I'm doing a recruiting pitch for you. Georgia Tech and Georgia are in tough conferences, but Georgia State, Mercer, and Kennesaw State isn't. For say, you all can have opportunity to win and go dancing, where Georgia Tech and Georgia, while they're in a bigger league, per se, they might not make it to the big dance for real based on the competition in their leagues.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and that's the thing. I think, you know, people look at mid-major basketball sometimes like it's an issue, you know, like, oh, well, it's not the highest level. Well, the ultimate goal, I think, of everybody, right, is to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
so
they're right.
If we're in a league, you know, regardless of if it's a one big league or we're able to get two teams in or whatever it may be, as long as we can be in that conversation and to build a program, you got to be in that conversation year in, year out. That's our goal. You know, we don't want to be, you know, a one-hit wonder. We don't want to just do it once. We don't want to do it just twice. We want to be in that conversation every year. So whether it's, the NCAA tournament, whether it's the NIT, we need to be, you know, we got to build this thing the right way into, you know, where we can get to a point where every year we're in that conversation of postseason play. You know, but again, you know, we can't skip steps either. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I think being at the places that I've worked at over my career, I can remember when we got to Murray State, we brought in 11. We brought in 11 new players our first year to a program that was used to, you know, in a sense, that was used to, winning. I mean, you walk in the arena at Murray State, and I mean, it's just banners everywhere. So it took us some time, and people, you know, some people, you know, were restless. Some people actually, you know, gave us a chance. And, you know, in year four, you know, really year three it started, but year four, we kind of really broke through in a big way, going 31-5, winning the regular season, winning the tournament, and then beating Vandy in the first round of the tournament. And what a lot of people don't realize is, we were a shot away from beating Butler the first time they went to the Final Four. So it doesn't matter the level as much as it's getting the right type of kids, building the program the right way, having an identity, and then, you know, really just going from there.
And, Coach, also, Kennesaw State offers a great academic program as well, and a great part of Atlanta. And I feel like, Coach, you can get high school freshmen, you can get JUCO guys, grad transfers, transfer guys, and international guys, because Kennesaw offers so many different things educationally as well for kids, young men to grow from. So it's a great part of town. They're building up out there around Chastain Road, Wade Green Road. They're building all out there, make it real nice. So guess what? You're in area of your own to have it to yourself out there, because once you get past Kennesaw, ain't much else out there, so you got out of there to yourself pretty much.
No doubt, man. You know, and that's actually been one of our selling points, and it's not a negative or a knock on anybody else, but I think personally, and I could be wrong, everybody doesn't look at it like this, but, you know, I think when kids, you know, are deciding to go to school, you know, you want to try to give them the best experience they can have. And what I mean by that is you try to give them a college feel, a campus feel. But coming from a guy who went to junior college in Garden City, Kansas, played at Southeastern Louisiana, lived in Murray, Kentucky, the thing about small towns sometimes is, you know, you don't get, you know, it's hard to get certain places, you know. So
exactly.
At Kennesaw, to be able to have a campus feel, and then at the same time, you're 30 minutes from downtown Atlanta, no traffic. That's no traffic. Or even to be able to have two malls within 20, 25 minutes with Town Center Mall and Cumberland Mall, and especially the way they're building up that Braves area, the Battery area. I mean, you kind of get the best of both worlds. So our thing is, man, you know, put a premium on relationships, get people to campus. And if I could tell you how many times I heard kids say this summer when we would get them to campus, I mean, we probably had anywhere from 25 to 30 kids on campus in June, between the 20 and 21 classes. And, man, all of them would say the same thing, like, dang, Coach, I didn't know y'all had all this up here. And it's like, well, was this your first time on campus? Yeah, this is my first time up here. So again, and that's not a knock on the last staff. I'm not here for that. You know, those guys, they did what they were, you know, they did the job they were hired to do, you know, but to be able to get kids to campus and for them to be able to see what you have to offer is half the battle. Now, when you put a premium on those relationships, now, you know, it turns into something different.
And speaking of relationships, Coach, how has that been building relationships with the guys on the roster that you decided to keep? So how has that been with the workout this summer, getting those 4 hours to work with those guys, kind of implement what you want to implement for your culture and what on court workouts, how that go for you this summer for you, Coach?
It went well, I thought. You know, we're not where we want to be by any means. I think the thing that we were trying to do this summer more than anything was we were trying to establish our standards and create our culture. You know, it's like I told these guys, you know, I have two expectations of them this year. You know, one is, you know, every time we step between the lines is to play hard and compete. And the second one is just to have a high level of attention to detail. Those are my two expectations for them. Because if we can do those things on a daily basis, man, we'll be where we should be, you know, in each game. I really, really believe that. I'm not so much worried about, you know, people say, well, you know, when you get your guys in there or the talent level gets better, you know, nah, man, like you don't get to choose that. You got to take the guys you got. They're my guys. They're my
exactly.
guys. Like, I inherited them. They're mine, you know, or ours, I should say. And so my job is, if I'm a coach, like if I'm really a coach, it's just like a teacher, right? Like I said in my press conference, like I feel like I'm an educator more than anything. So the teacher doesn't get to pick the students she gets that he or she teaches. Like, they got to teach the students that they get and then bring the most out of them. So that's the approach we took. Those were the expectations, and I thought made a lot of strides in those areas. We got some guys bought in, and you know, we got to continue to get buy-in when we get back in school. You know, sometimes 2 months isn't enough. So again, the expectations I think are understood. We're setting the standards daily, every single day. And then, you know, obviously the culture, that's literally a second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day thing that you're fighting for every single day is that culture.
Now, Coach Amir, non-conference scheduling wise, I know you got to play some bye games, but beyond those bye games, you have to play. How you see yourself making the schedule out once you have full control of it come next season?
Well, you know, we're gonna try to get out there and go compete against, you know, maybe three or four of those of what I call, you know, the big guys. You know, we're gonna try to still do that. And because for us, you know, Boss Man, to be honest with you, it's about making – it's not about, like, us, like, meaning men's basketball. Like, I want to be a part of something where everybody is getting better from you know, what's going on at Kennesaw. It's no different than what, you know, Coach Bohannon has created up there. I mean, the buzz around there, it's, like, really cool to see, you know, what football is doing and they're back in camp and how excited people are. I see people day in, day out coming in and out of the athletic department picking up their season tickets. We got to create that same thing with basketball, because then I think it leads to, you know, even more for women's basketball or volleyball or baseball, so on and so forth. So, you know, from that standpoint, man, like our thing is to get out there and play the best, but we're always preparing for March. You know, we're always preparing for being in the tournament, because again, if you can go play three or four of those games, it'll, like, depending on, you know, how your team is, you know, what your goals are, it kind of really sets the bar for where you are, or it's telling you where you have to get to. Because the thing is, those tournament games in March, you know, those games are won by the most consistent teams, the most disciplined teams. And so for us, you know, we want to be up-tempo, we want to play fast, but at the same time, we want to guard you and take great shots in everything that we do.
And, Coach, I want to get this point, Coach Amir. Who have been some coaches and people in the business that really helped you along the way as you've got to this point to be the head coach of Kennesaw State now?
Well, I'm a thief. I steal from everybody, man. You know, it's the only time I'll admit to being a thief, man. I steal from everybody. I mean, I literally – you know, I watch probably more, to be honest with you, I'll probably watch more women's basketball than I watch men's basketball sometimes, just because I think that the execution and the technique in the women's game is a lot better, because they're actually having to depend on execution and not athleticism, right? So, you know, I'll watch, you know, the Joni Taylors of the world. I'll watch the Gary Blairs of the world, having been at A&M, and then, you know, whether it's Muscle McGraw at Notre Dame, you know, those are just different people I watch. But the guys, I think, who have had a big-time impact on me, obviously Billy Kennedy, who I played for in college, and he gave me my start in the business at Murray State, and then I ended up working for him at Texas A&M. His philosophy defensively and how he, you know, how he wants to be defensively day in and day out. I say it's vanilla, right? But there's nothing wrong with vanilla ice cream. It actually goes really good with pretty much any dessert you get, right?
So, yes, indeed. That
part of it is great. You know, so it'll be hard-nosed, it'll be tough, things like that. But then even just in 1 year, I know this may sound crazy, but even just in 1 year of working for Tom Crean at Georgia, man, the impact that he's had on my mindset as a leader, my mindset as a coach, my mindset as a educator, in a sense, I don't even know if I could put it into words, just because when you watch him, this, and we're talking about a guy who's been to the Final Four, who's coached, you know, multiple pros, probably I think it's like 15 or 16 pros, and he's developed guys, not all McDonald's All-Americans. These are guys, you know, like he loves to tell, you know, Dwayne Wade had, I think it was 3 offers. Oladipo had 2 offers or something like that. You know, so the way he looks at the game, the way he looks at each guy individually and what's important for their development, and then mixing it in with, you know, what's best for the team, I had a huge impact on me. So I've been fortunate to work for and work with, you know, some really good coaches. I should have mentioned Chad Dollar, you know, who I've worked with 3 times. You know, people don't realize it at Murray State, at Georgia Tech, and then again at Georgia, just, you know, how he approaches it every day. Joe Scott at Georgia, who was a Princeton guy, like the things that he thinks about. So just being able to pick the brains of different people, Steve Prohm at Iowa State, you know, Shaka Smart at Texas, like just guys that let you text them and say, "Coach, man, why do you do this or why do you do that?" And then bang, like they respond, which a lot of people don't do. So I've been really fortunate and really blessed to, you know, be able to connect with some really great coaches, but probably even better people.
And Coach, I know you like to watch the women's games. I feel like we should put some rules in the women's game into the men's game. Maybe like the quarters, the 5 team fouls, you know, and maybe the NBA thing, the advance the ball, the game, make it a little more exciting. Because I feel like if you get the ball from on the baseline, you got to throw up a heave. You have a chance to drop a play if you get the advance of the half court and really draw a real play, not just okay, just double pick, sit around the screen, throw up a heave, hope it go in. You know, give me some chance to win the game.
No doubt. Like, you know, I don't know how I feel about the quarters. I like halves. I don't know why. I feel like quarters are they're a little bit high school, right? You know, if we were going to go quarters, then let's go 12-minute quarters. But the advancement of the ball, I think is great. Like, I think the women, you know, hit it right on the head, you know, with it being able to advance the ball. Because now execution comes into it. Game planning comes into it. Having to be on top of your game, you know, it comes into it. You know, I can remember being at Texas A&M, I think it was maybe my first or second year, and it was Billy Donovan's last year at Florida. And, man, you know, you get your 5 timeouts or whatever it is, man, this dude used 4 timeouts in the first half, you know, and, you know, just whether it was getting the ball to half court, advancing it, and, like, he coached the rest of the game with 1 timeout. And I want to say they beat us that game. I could be wrong. Maybe we pulled it out at the end, but I just remember sitting there thinking, like, why is he using all his timeouts in the first half? And, you know, somebody asked the question after the game of, hey, Coach, you realize you used all these timeouts? And he was just like, hey, look, I'm trying to win the game, so I'm in that moment. I can't worry about what may happen. I know we had an opportunity in that moment. So, you know, being able to, you know, that advancement of the ball is really cool, and I wish they would, you know, put it in our game.
Now, that's what I got for you, Coach, is this. What's it been like for you, a typical day for you? I know you got a lot of meetings, a lot of meeting with players and boosters, administrators, people just want to come talk to you. How's a typical day been for you since you got this job at Kennesaw?
A typical day?
Yes.
I don't even know if it's such thing as a typical day anymore. I was literally just telling my wife about a week or so ago. I'm like, man, you know, you'll get up with a plan in mind of how you're going to attack the day. And literally, it might be the first thing, like something happens first thing in the morning. It just throws your whole day off because you're dealing with that. And that's part of being the head coach, is part of sitting in this chair. But the typical day is not a typical day. It's like you're kind of adjusting. That's the typical day. You're learning to adjust. And to me, that's where I'm comfortable. You know, I'm comfortable adjusting. That's game. That's basketball, right? Like, that is the game. It's being in the game 40 minutes, adjusting to the things that people throw at you. So when, you know, I look at these days like they're helping me, not only, you know, kind of as a coach, but they're helping me as a leader too. Just adjust to the things that come at you. It's like the old, you know, cliche of, you know, life isn't about what happens to you, it's about how you respond. So a typical day is just responding, you know, over the last 2 or 3 months.
Coach Amir, it's been great to have you on the show, man. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, man. I've had on Coach Lanier and Coach Gary as well down at Mercer. I just want to make you part of the group as well. Get you on. Get, so I'll say some love here on the Boss Man Show, man.
No, Boss Man, I appreciate it. I mean, I tell you this, Georgia basketball, like across the state, you know, I think we, you know, are fortunate to be with a lot of great high school coaches, a lot of great AAU coaches, but then you look at the college coaches that are in this state from, you know, like you said, Coach Gary, Coach Lanier, Coach, don't forget about my man, Coach Bynington down there at Georgia Southern. You know, you throw in Coach Pastner, Coach Crean, you know, even Coach Mitch Cole up at Berry College. Like, there are some really, really good coaches in this state, and I personally feel fortunate, you know, to be able to pick up the phone and call one of those guys and say, Coach, man, even though you're competing against them, just say, hey, man, what are you guys doing with this and thinking about that? You know, I sat with Coach Lanier in Myrtle Beach the last session of the summer, man, and, you know, he and I sat together for like 3 games, man, just talking basketball, talking strategy, talking life, you know, talking coaching, talking family. So that part of it is really cool.
I'm glad to have all of you in the state, man. I look forward to covering your game this year, and I look forward to you doing big things, because Casey Alexander's gone from Lipscomb now, Coach. The ASA is for yours to take. Casey gone to Primo Bond.
that's the plan. But like I said, man, we gonna take it a day at a time and build it the right way so we can sustain it, man. We don't want to be no shot in the dark, man. We want to have a real program.
Yes, the Coach Amir, it's been great. But talk to you real soon, brother. Best luck to you.
All right. Boss Man, thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, it's Amir Durahim here on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
Somebody to love. Somebody.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
I was back in Jared, the Boss Man Show. We're with Coach Zach Claus here of the Idaho Vandals out of the Big Sky Conference. Coach, how are things going out there in Idaho, man?
Doing terrific. Thank you for having me.
Coach, I know it's been a whirlwind for you getting the job in July, man. What has it been like this whirlwind from now, and we're here in August as we get ready for the fall camp to open up in October, man. What's it been like for you to get the chance to lead this squad so far?
Well, it's obviously been a big change, but one that I embraced and am really looking forward to. Have made, you know, comments in the past that the players, they were here in the, you know, during all of it, and whether it was our returning guys or all of our incoming guys, you know, the combination of the two meshing so well together, they've made it. You know, obviously, what has been a challenge has made it all terrific on my end. They've been really receptive. They've been supportive of one another. They've worked their tails off. They did a really, really good job in the classroom with their summer classes. And now, you know, the majority of them are home, spending some time, some much needed time with their family, a little bit of downtime away from here. Because obviously when we bring everybody back at the end of the month for the start of school and we get going with workouts, and before you know it, practice is on top of you. So it's always important to get everybody home, give them a chance to hug their mothers, get some home-cooked meals. But it's been a whole lot of fun, and we're looking forward to a great season.
And, Coach, the adversity of how things went down, you get the job late, I feel like it's going to make you guys so much closer. Because when you have some adversity, it shows what kind of character you have, the kind of integrity you have, and what you have inside of you. And I feel like this experience is going to make your guys a little bit more rugged, a little more tougher than most teams are early in the year because of what you've been through already, which has been kind of a weird circumstance. But it's good for you, but also it's good for them as well that you all come together, went through it all at the same time, and have the same goal in mind. We got through this. We can win this game because we went through this in July and August. Look where we're at now.
You definitely are onto something there, because I know that our returning guys – welcomed the incoming guys with open arms, because you know we needed to add some depth and talent to this roster. And you know the new guys have been, you know, have been very open-minded. And you know, a big thanks to our incoming guys, because they took a chance on our staff to remain here. I mean, they could have easily said, you know, with the, you know, with everything that was going on, with the indecision, they could have pulled the plug and said, you know what, it's in my best interest to look into another program or do something else with my next step for college basketball. But they chose to honor their commitment by coming to the University of Idaho. They saw enough positive with their, you know, incoming and existing teammates, with our staff, and you know, I make mention of it on a regular basis. We're very fortunate in that the people that have their hands on our players on a daily basis, from Jake Scharnhorst, who's our strength coach, to Krista Gray in academics, to Joe St. Pierre, who handles all of our media, and then all the way to Justin Pomar, who's our athletic trainer. Those people that have, you know, an immediate impact on our guys each and every day just make everything run smooth. And we're very fortunate that way. We've got some terrific people in this department, again, on our staff that have made it possible for the kids. But again, I think you're onto something, that these guys are rallying around one another and have definitely supported one another over the past month and a half.
And, Coach, what did it mean to you for the administration to give you the opportunity to lead this team? Because I'll tell you what, for them to tab you as an interim coach, I mean, that must have meant a lot to you. Because you've paid your dues in this business, from being a basketball ops guy to becoming an assistant coach on the bench. So you've paid your dues. So for them to look at you and say, hey, Coach Zach, we trust you to lead this program this year to get these young men where we want to be in the Big Sky Conference.
Well, I certainly take it as a compliment that they entrusted that to me. But at the same time, again, I work with a terrific staff. And, you know, I know that our sole focus is to make sure that we have a terrific season ahead, that we pour all of our energy into making this the most positive experience for these kids in this program for the upcoming season. And then we go from there.
And, Coach, for the workouts, were you implementing some scheme-wise? Were you just trying to see what you had for the guys, trying to get them some shots up, get them some drill work done, get some conditioning done? Were you trying to actually put in some schemes for doing the 4 hours you guys had to work out each week?
You know, the biggest thing, and I've always kind of thought this, is that the summer is a basketball player's best opportunity to improve from an individual standpoint. And so once we, you know, really were hands-on and on the floor and getting after it with daily workouts, it was more so about getting back to fundamental stuff, whether it be footwork, passing, ball handling, and obviously a whole bunch of shooting, making sure our guys were getting plenty of reps. Because, you know, from the summer, you're limited in terms of the time that you have with them. And I go back to, you know, our strength coach. He has such a he does such a good job with our guys and has such a persona about him and just puts off such a, you know, a level of toughness and confidence that I didn't want to take anything away from the amount of time that we spend in the weight room as a whole, because again, this is a group that needed to get bigger and stronger and quicker and more agile in the weight room. So it was a combination of a great deal of individual workouts on the court and then getting into the weight room and, you know, spending that extra time in there to improve individually. And, you know, once we get them back here in the fall, once school gets started, we'll do more in groups, and then we'll start doing more team stuff as practice approaches. And I know we have a long season, and I know that these, you know, we're fortunate to have an older group that I know will be able to pick up on stuff quickly. So again, the summer was more geared toward them individually.
And coach, speaking of your team's play this year, when teams watch Idaho Vandals play, what do you want them to take from watching your team play every night as you compete this season?
Well, I'd say right off the top, you know, guys that play hard, that compete, you know, from the opening tip to the final buzzer, and no matter what the score is, and we play the game the right way. You know, we're moving the ball, we're sharing the ball. We're complimenting one another. We're picking up one another when we dive after a loose ball, but we're also respectful of our opponent. We play the right way, and you know that this team's going to compete each and every time they're out for a game.
Yes, indeed, Coach. And so having an older group at the mid-major level, Coach, having an older group is dangerous because those guys know how to play. Some of these, how many schools, all these young kids are still developing, don't know how to play the right way. And guess what? You go and get them in the non-conference schedule or catch them in March. A team like yours, a little older, they can beat those teams. They're not used to those pressure-packed moments that your team maybe y'all are used to because they're a little bit older.
I agree with you. I think, you know, we've got a bunch of guys that are hungry to play at this level that, you know, again, like we talked about previously, that are rallying around one another and, you know, through not only, you know, the little bit of adversity this summer, but, you know, coming off of a year where, you know, admittedly we struggled and, you know, struggled a little bit in terms of, you know, just guys not quite being ready to play at this level. I don't anticipate that being the same this upcoming year. We have guys that have been through it. We have guys that have played at a high level, whether they've come from, you know, junior college or a four-year transfer. Doesn't matter. They're going to be ready to hit the ground running and compete each and every time out.
And it's about the big sky. You know, we know Montana's been on top of the league with Coach DeCure, and those guys have been playing great for years. Mm-hmm. Shante Leggins up there at Eastern Washington. Randy Ray always does good at Weber State as well. Barrett's getting better at Portland State. You also got Danny Sprinkle right there in your backyard there getting the gig down there. It's an alma mater. So, Coach, the league, a lot of great guys in the league, man. I know everybody's going in for Montana, so – as you all prepare for this year, do you kind of try to look at your league and say, like, we got to beat the guys from our league, kind of prepare our roster, make our rotations, make our schemes, kind of beat the guys from our league, because even in our conference schedule-wise as well, it's kind of always with that idea of kind of getting the big sky and we didn't get that automatic bid when you get that big dance in March there.
No question. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play in the big sky, so between playing in it and then coaching at, you know, multiple places in this conference, you know, it's one that's been near and dear to my heart for many, many years. And, you know, the level of play has always been very high and always starts and finishes with a very high level of guard play in this conference. And I know that that will continue to be. And, you know, you rattled off some very talented coaches that do a terrific job of leading their program. And, you know, it always starts with Weber State and Montana that, you know, you're always kind of gauging your team on how those two hold up. And, you know, they've both been wonderful representatives of our conference with, you know, winning conference titles in the last few years and going on to play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know that you better be ready, you know, every Thursday and Saturday and, you know, a few Mondays sprinkled in with the way the schedule is. But it's a very talented and balanced top-to-bottom conference. And, you know, we know that we've, you know, non-conference is always important and, you know, a chance to get yourself going, but we know that we've got to be playing our best basketball as we get into January and February and obviously then into mid-March when we have our conference tournament. But it's a great league, and we're fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah, the Big Scouts, I mean, as a kid, man, I used to watch the games. Like I said, I'm a basketball junkie. So I used to watch on ESPN, all those college stations, watch it with LA and watch the games out west there. So, yeah, Coach, like, yep. I remember you playing the Big Sky. You know, I remember that. So, you know, like I said, I remember his name when he played in the league. So, like, my dad got me into sports. So, I thank my dad for my basketball acumen about all the sporting college teams I know about, man. It was so great. But I want to ask you, Coach, in your career, man, playing and coaching, who have been some people who have been really key to you in your success as you are the head coach of Idaho right now?
Well, from a coaching standpoint, I was very fortunate. I spent 10 years coaching at the University of Nevada, and I was brought on when Mark Fox, who's now the head coach at Cal, when he was there, and then after he left to go to Georgia, I stayed there and worked for David Carter. And I've known Coach Carter since 1996 when I transferred out to play at Eastern Washington, and he was an assistant there. And, you know, to work with and for those two guys was fantastic, and learned a great deal from them, and to have both of them as mentors has been tremendous for me as I've continued on coaching since my time at Nevada. And then I would, you know, you asking me that question, it spits me out to, you know, my biggest coaching mentor who I'm fortunate enough I talked to literally about 30 minutes ago, and his name is Jeff Smith. He actually is still teaching at Lincoln Southeast High School, where I'm from, and actually both of us attended, and he is the reason why I initially went out to Eastern Washington. Years ago, that's going back to when the NCAA still had their restricted earnings coach, and he was that coach at Nebraska and went with Steve Aggers, who was my head coach at Eastern Washington, and he got the job out there and said, "What do you think? You want to take a chance and go with me?" And I got to tell you, it was maybe the best decision I've ever made, because it gave me the chance to play for him for a couple years and spend more time with him. And I met my future bride, Tony, at Eastern Washington because she played volleyball there. And so it was a win-win for me. And he, to this day, remains my biggest mentor that I have.
Coach, you know, it's mighty funny you say that. I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and we talked about how we met, which is kind of weird how we met, how we came about. So just hearing you say that, basically, I had a conversation with my girlfriend about how we met. If I got out the show with you right now. So you say you were this wife, yeah. Met your bride, how I met my girlfriend at Atlanta Hawks game, of all places. You know, it's kind of
thing. Oh, there you go. I like it.
So, yeah, so like, yeah, man, it's like, it's crazy. We had the same conversations pretty much as like an hour ago. But, yeah, Coach, I am so happy for you to get this job, man. I love college basketball. I love talking to coaches around the country. I love to give y'all a platform, talk to the kids here in Georgia and outside of Georgia as well, where I feel it's, because I feel like mid-major basketball is not covered the way it should be. And if I have a platform, I'm definitely going to give you guys some airtime and cover you guys the best way I possibly can.
That's terrific. I appreciate that, and we're definitely happy to join you.
Yes, Nico, Zach, have a great time out there and leading those Vandals, man. We'll talk to you real soon, buddy.
Okay. Thank you again for having me. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Go Vandals.
Yes, indeed. Folks, that's Coach Zach Claus here on the Boss Man Show.
My heart keeps skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord. touch somebody. Ooh, somebody. Can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back here on Jared the Boss Man Show. We're here with the Athletic Detroit's own James Edwards III. James, man, what's good up in the D, man?
Not much, man. First of all, appreciate you having me on. But, yeah, we're talking before we went live. It's hot. It's hot everywhere. It's hot up here in Michigan. But I'll take that over cold any day of the week. So,
bro,
properly dressed.
Bro, I have to ask you this, being a Michigan guy, when does it really get cold up there, man? You know, I really don't know because now I'm down here in ATL, but when does it kind of get cold and you got to worry about snow and sleet stuff that I'm scared of?
Yeah. I mean, it gets a little cold around Halloween. It starts getting, like, cold that everybody talks about probably around Thanksgiving.
Oh, so when the Lions on TV embarrassed everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's why they're playing doors. There's a reason.
I got you, man. Yeah, man, bro. You probably remember the snowstorm in Atlanta 2013, bro. I didn't come out of the house for 6 days, bro. That's how bad it was. I can't drive in snow. I tried one time, bro. I learned fast. It's not for me. Stay in the house.
I heard wasn't there only an inch on the ground that year?
Man, it was two, actually. Two inches of snow and some ice.
They don't even think about closing school around here until 4 or 5 inches. So I understand when you're used to it, that's different. And when you throw in the ice, that's a different story. But, yeah, no, two is – we got to go on about our day with two.
You got that right. Hey, man, it's all good, though. Well, bro, let me ask you this, man. You know, the Pistons, in my opinion, have had a great offseason so far, brother. So how would you grade what the job the Pistons front office did this year with bringing Derrick Rose, Snell, Markieff Morris, the draft pick as well, and, you know, making some of those periphery moves they've made so far?
Yeah, I give it a high B. I think they did what they set out to do. Like, they needed more creation, more playmaking. They got that in Derrick Rose. They're hoping to get more shooting. Tony Snell, they traded for him. Who can help and fill that void to get a small forward. Also, they needed like a true small forward on their roster that had some NBA experience, so that checks that box. And then Markieff Morris, if he can get back healthy, that's another guy that, I mean, at minimum, he's a solid bench player, and at his best, he's a low-end starter. So for the little amount of money they had going into the offseason, they got three really solid pieces that will play significant time for them this coming season. So you can't give that anything less than a B, given the circumstances in which they were working with.
And the move of hiring Dwayne Casey, I thought was firing Stan Van Gundy, who's one of my favorite people in the whole world. I love Stan Van Gundy. I know you probably enjoy covering him as well. But how was it to cover Dwayne Casey, James? How is he as a coach? How do you feel he'll get his roster further in year two now, going, get his system more implemented now with the Pistons?
No, I enjoy covering Dwayne. Super cliche. I always call him he's a Southern gentleman. He remembers everybody's name. He's very polite. He's also pretty funny. I don't know if people know that. I don't think I knew that until I covered him. He's a funny dude. He can be a little bit of a smart ass sometimes to people, but he does it in a very polite way. He cracks jokes. No, he's a good guy to cover. Very honest, open with the media. He has conversations after the cameras are off and after the microphones are off. He'll sit and chat with us routinely. So that's all you can ask for as somebody covering the team. And then going into the season, I think he just garnered the guy's respect last year. I think he's a guy that what he did in Toronto commands respect. And the guys like him. The guys understand his vision. They believe in his vision. You never really heard last year when they had a bunch of ups and downs last year. And even during those downs, you never really heard anything blamed on the coaches. They all kind of took onus on themselves that coach was putting them in the right situations. They just weren't converting. So you always want to hear that type of stuff from the players when it comes to having a new coach, because, as you know, there's been many instances in sports where the new coach kind of gets the blame right away, and that never happened at all.
Yes, indeed. And also looking at the roster, James, I think you're on the sum with the free agent addition of Rose, Snell, and Markieff Morris. I think that those complimenting guys off the bench or being a low-end starter in a pinch, I think it really helped this roster. Because if you ask me, beyond Philadelphia, Boston, Milwaukee, the East is open. Because you don't know what Victor Oladipo is being in Indiana. So the Detroit could literally be 4 or 5 in the East if everything goes well for them.
Yeah, I think I wrote about this in a mailbag that's coming out tomorrow. I think realistically the ceiling for them is the 6th seed. Like you said, I think Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, and that's 4. And every year I look at Indiana and I think, man, if the Pistons at their best, they're probably a little better than Indiana. But Indiana over the past 2 years has really kind of shown that they're consistent and that they have a stable foundation. So I got to give them their respect and put the Pacers over them, even without Oladipo maybe not ready for the beginning of the year. But after that, yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if somebody told me the Pistons finished with a better record than the Raptors, if they finished better with a better record than the Heat. Or I wouldn't be surprised if they finished with a better record than the Pacers. I think at best they'll get a 6th seed. But like you said, if everything goes right and Indiana's foundation kind of crumbles in a little bit, I wouldn't be that surprised if they got a 5 seed.
Exactly. And are there any moves they want to make still, or are they already done for the most part? Or maybe be a periphery move, maybe for a bench guy, a shooter here or there, or are you hearing they're pretty much good on moves right now?
I get the sense that they're probably going to go into the season with the roster they have right now. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they traded Langston Galloway, who's on an expiring deal. That's one thing this new front office has shown, is that they're willing to trade expiring contracts to get assets and not let guys walk. So Langston Galloway is a guy that Coach Casey likes in terms of what he brought on a night-to-night basis defensively. He's undersized for a two guard. He's known as a shooter, but he's been streaky since being in Detroit. But I could, with the young guys that they have, there's a lot of young guys on the wing. And they might want to open up some room for them to fight out for a rotation spot, and you could see Galloway go. But I assume if there's going to be any deals, it's not going to be till closer to the deadline. But again, Langston could be one of those guys that could go before.
Well, a guy I got my eye on the roster is Reggie Jackson. Last year of his deal, man, his health is always tricky. So does he have a long-term future in Detroit? Think they may just trade him away and get some assets back, get something back for him? Because, you know, if you ask me, that you know you traded for him, you had to pay him, but he really lived up to what his contract is worth right now, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, was, like you said, the injuries. He's been injured the last 2 years, lower body injuries, and if you watch Reggie before he got injured, it was explosiveness and his ability to attack the rim in the pick and roll. And when you have 2 lower body injuries, obviously that's going to hurt the best part of his game. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how that works. A lot of people kind of assume that they're going to trade Reggie because he does have an expiring contract. But if they get to the deadline and they're a couple games over 500 and they're in the thick of the playoff race and Reggie's playing well, why trade him? Why not just ride out through the season if things are clicking and you let him go in free agency? I'm not sure he's a guy that's going to garner that solid of a package in a trade deal. If you call around and you can get something that you think is a young piece that you think is can maybe grow into something, obviously for Reggie you're not going to get a high-end young player, but maybe like a second round pick you like or something like that, or future picks, maybe you do that. But I think it all is going to depend on where the Pistons are around that deadline, because if I just don't think they're going to get much in return for Reggie. And if you're playing well with them, you might as well just keep him and just have him come off your books the next summer.
And I expect, James, it'd be a heavy trade year because of the money. Because you look at next year's free agency class, it's not that good, first of all. Then you have teams with money, the Atlanta Hawks, Charlotte, Cleveland, Toronto. You're not trying to go there and play. So it's kind of like, let's just want to check. But so I feel like there'll be a lot of deals being made this year because of how the cap money was spent this offseason as well. So I think there'll be a lot of different things you see moving pieces that we see come February around the deadline there, in my opinion.
No, that's a good point. I agree. Like you said, there's not many – the free agency class isn't strong next summer. Not many teams have abundance of cap space, and the teams that do aren't really free agent destinations. So – I agree. I think that's probably a good way to think about how it will go leading up to the deadline.
Now, James, I think you guys have a small window to win with Blake and Dre, because Blake has 2 years on the player option. Dre has a year on the player option on definitely his deal. So do you feel like you have to capitalize in the next 2 years with those guys? Is that anchoring on the front court? And hopefully he's been shooting around those guys. And Blake can play a point forward for you as well and try to take advantage of the weakened Eastern Conference before we don't know how Kevin Durant comes back for the Nets or whatever. And the Sixers may get better if Simmons can ever get a jump shot. So how do you see that window with Dre and Blake still here and with the Pistons try to capitalize on having those two talented guys in the front court the next couple of years before their contracts run out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just of the belief that it's very hard for the Pistons to do anything of significant note that would make them Eastern Conference contenders within Blake's window. I just don't see that foreseen trade happen for they really need like a premier wing player. Like a Bradley Beal would be great. I just don't see how a deal for a guy like that becomes available in the next 2 or 3 years. They don't. Their best young player right now is Luke Kennard, who's a fine young player and gets kind of overlooked because, I mean, here in Detroit, people are coming around to Luke, but they were upset because the Pistons took him over Donovan Mitchell. And then nationally, people don't really pay attention to the Pistons, so they're not really paying attention to how good Luke has developed. And Luke's been a really good player for them. He was their best player, I thought, during the Bucks series. I mean, Mike Budenholzer, I asked him if he was game planning for Luke after Luke went out and scored 19 in game one. He said, yeah, in game two, he was much more of a focal point in our game plan. So Luke's a good player, but I don't know if any of these young assets that they have can be flipped into something of substance. And I just think the Pistons, what they got to do is try to build the best team they can around Blake and Andre, who have worked well together. That's not the issue. They just got to find a way to be a little bit more balanced around them. And they're going to have to do that with smart moves, in-house development of the young guys, hitting on draft picks. It's going to be a process, but I just don't see a splash trade happening with this organization, just because unless like a couple of these young guys, one or two of them really take massive leaps, which could happen, but I'm just not sure I see it happening right within the next 2 years.
And just want to ask you about the Grand Rapids Dry there. They're going to hire Dari Tindall as the new head coach there. What's Coach Tindall meant to the G League team? I know Coach Casey had him up there at the Raptors down 05 when he was in Toronto. So have you actually talked to Coach Tindall much and see what he's all about? We know what happened with him against the Blade, but he's definitely a decent man. Coach Stackhouse, Vanderbilt swears by him, had him in the 905 with him as well. So what do you know about Coach Donnie Tindall and what he's going to bring to the Drive this year?
Yeah, I don't really do too much with the Drive, so I'm not like looped in that regard. But Donnie is a guy that I've met on several occasions. He's actually, like you said, he's a nice guy. In my encounters with him, I tried out for the Drive and wrote a story on it, like what it's like to try out for the G League team. And Donnie was the one by my side, like making sure I was still breathing and making sure I was all right and was going to make it and had some water. And yeah, no, I've Donnie's around the Pistons a lot. He's a guy that, from all accounts, knows the game, can get respect from players. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting transition, but it seems like that guy is well-respected in the NBA circles.
I think he'll be a head coach in the NBA one. I think he's young enough. He's only 49 years old. I think he can be a head coach. Coach Casey's in his 60s, so I think Donnie, if he stays on the right path, man, you hear it here first thing, he may be here to be NBA head coach here down the road here real soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I got to see how he does with the Drive, but I know they liked him as an assistant with Coach Kruger last year. So now it's just waiting it out and see what he does with the organization.
Last one I got, I talked about it was off the air with you, James, about John Mason, man. I tell you what, I listened to some of those old Piston the intros in 2004 and 2005, man. Mason was on fire, man. I watched him on the lead pass. I still hear him do the Detroit basketball. I'm like, my man be getting it, how he clung with those names, man, the lineups, man. So for you, get to see this guy all the time, man, seeing what Mason comes up with, man. How's that experience been for you and the fans up there in Detroit?
Oh, Mason's loved in Detroit. I actually did a Q&A with him a few weeks ago to kind of learn more about how he comes up with the stuff he comes up with. And it's pretty interesting if you get a chance to check it out on The Athletic. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a creative guy. A lot of the stuff he comes up with, he told me, was like he used to be a comic book fan. So he tries to treat the players like comic book heroes. And that's why you hear those little blurbs like whatever he says with Blake Griffin, muscles ripping Blake Griffin and stuff like that. He tries to make these guys feel like superheroes. And he's loved in Detroit. He's loved around the NBA. He's well known. He told me that guys like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry says he's the best at his job, and he's a nice guy. I don't know if people know this, but the TV show Martin was actually based on Mason.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, so he started as a radio disc jockey, and if you watch episode one of Martin, if I'm not mistaken, Martin gets a call from a caller, and they're yelling, "Mason, Mason." He's like, "No, Mason's gone. This is Martin." But it was if you read the Q&A, he tells me the whole story of how the Martin, the company, I think at the time it was Martin, aired on Fox or UPN when it first came out, and how they approached him about doing the show about him, loosely based on him.
Wow, you know what? It's funny because I can quote John Mason calls, man. I, especially when his jersey reads, "Oh, she, Mr. Rush." I want a Piston fan, but he got me hyped to watch the game with the Pistons on league fans. So I'm like, that's my guy, man. I like this dude, man. So let me ask you, that's what I got for you, James. Bro,
I think he's one of the first. He's either the first or the only PA announcer. During the All-Star game, he was the first or the only, if not both, PA announcer to be like transported to do the All-Star game. Usually they have the announcer from wherever the city is, but forgot what year it was, but the NBA wanted him to do it. I think it was the year that the Pistons had I can't remember if they had four or five of the starters in the game, mm-hmm. but it was that year, and Mason was the PA announcer.
I remember he did it in Vegas too that year.
Yeah, yep.
I remember that, too. Yeah, Mason's a classic dude, man. Last one I got for you, James, is this. The arena. How is Little Caesars Arena different from the Palace of Auburn Hills? Like, I've been to the Palace a few times, but how is it different? Little Caesars, I've been down to downtown and see that new arena yet. So what's the difference for the fans being actually, the Pistons actually being downtown, not up there in Oakland County and in Auburn Hills?
I mean, I like Little Caesars more than the Palace, to be honest. The Palace is massive. It's a little more open. LCA is a little more, it reminds me kind of a college arena. When you're on the floor, everything's kind of on top of you. The seats go up and not as far out. It's dark. It's condensed. I like that for a basketball game. It gets very loud when the games are packed. The playoff game three was as loud as I've heard in arena, all season. So if the Pistons get good, that place is going to be very, very loud. But then again, I mean, I'm also a guy that's all for the city, and it's the arena's in the city. It's downtown. It's in Midtown. It's not in Auburn Hills, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, indeed.
LCA is in the heart of Detroit. People can walk from the game, go downtown and get drinks, get food. They can walk from the bars to the game. It's more Detroit, and I think that's what they want to go for. They were tired of being so far away from the community, and now they're obviously attracting a much different fan base and consumer than they were in Auburn Hills, but it's a lot more Detroit.
Yes, indeed. Well, James, it's been fun, brother. We'll do this again real soon, man. I enjoy talking about the Pistons. I like the same you got going on. I like Michigan, man. So we'll do this again real soon, brother.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
No problem, folks. It's James Edwards here on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today. We'll be right back.